Well, good morning. Are you there? Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, good. My name is Seth Chansey. For those of you who don't know me, I am a member of this church, a member of the pastor support team. I am not the pastor. He was on the piano today. He'll be back with us shortly. Right now, he's pastoring our children in Sunday school. What do we just hear in the scripture? Use your gifts. And we all have the same gift, right? What? We have different gifts. Why on earth would we have different gifts? Sorry? For different purposes? Sam, is that what you said?
Different personalities.
Different personalities, okay. So what is your gift? How many of you were here last Sunday? And by the way, that's not a test because, you know, this is fall break. And so, you know, I understand that the people are traveling. I've been traveling this week myself. But again, how many of you were here last week? Can you tell those who weren't here what we talked about just briefly? Someone, anyone? I know some people were paying attention because they talked with me afterwards. Yes, Charles.
What I remember is that we try to find out the various assets that we have as a church.
Okay. And how do we do that?
Asset mapping.
Asset mapping, okay. And for people who haven't been a part of asset mapping, what was that like?
A lot of what?
Everyone was excited, okay? Okay, a lot of ideas that came onto the walls. We had six different stations throughout the room. People divided up into groups, and we looked at what are our resources. Because one of the things that I think that we've forgotten, and if you could switch over to my computer here, one of the things that we've forgotten in the scripture that we just read is that we're supposed to focus on what is good. We're told this many times in the Bible, but the world, and it says in that scripture, do not be transformed by the world, right? But the world wants us to focus on the negative, particularly at work. Aileen Balloway is now off in Sunday school, and she is a HSE risk manager, something like that. So her job is to find all the problems and get rid of them. Yes? And there are other people in our congregation who do similar things. Or our engineers, they're trying to solve problems. So constantly, we're looking at what's wrong. But what God wants is he wants us to look at what is right. And this can be difficult. When we first started asset mapping last week, it was hard to start looking at what was right. So some of the impressions that we had from last week was that there was a lot of energy, and I felt that too. I felt that there was a lot of energy in the room as we're looking at these things. What are our assets? What strengths do we have? What resources do we have? Not only as a church, but also as individuals. And then we start to see a sense of faith of what God perhaps can accomplish through us. And the reason that this sermon series is called Because of You is because, first off, we need to start that because of you, God, we think about all that he's done. But I also don't want us to forget what we have done, that as a church, we have accomplished good things. So as we look forward and we want to do greater things, we're not negating what we have done, but hoping to do better things, greater things, not for our sake, but for the sake of our Lord. So we want to recognize the results that have taken place and hopefully the results that will take place. And I also talked about open sum dynamics, and that means that God's math is not like our math. 1 + 1 + 1, we're told in the Bible, equals 1. Right? But we're also told that 1 + 1 equals an infinite number of possibilities. When we put our gifts together, when God gives us gifts, the possibilities are limitless. So God's math is not like our math. David?
Let's go. Whoops. Oh. Storm, quick.
something. Plug it in.
Sound oscillator?
Yeah, I'm gonna give him a royal pain in the ear. Here, protect your ears.
Now! Right!
We have our own MacGyver in our church. For those of you who go to the men's Bible study, you probably know MacGyver. Chell MacGyver Dalla. But MacGyver is always looking for what resources he has around him. But the problem with MacGyver is he's always looking for what resources are around him to meet a need. And the thing about asset mapping is we're not trying to meet a need. We're not trying to say, okay, here's a need, let's fix that. But with asset mapping, we're looking at what resources we have and building from that. And that's one of the key differences. See, this is where we're not looking at what's negative, but we're looking at what's positive. Now, another thing about asset mapping and the reason there was so much energy is because we felt seen. We felt acknowledged. People knew who we are, what our gifts are, and what we could contribute. You see, church is not a spectator sport. Our church is about all of us working together for His glory. You finding your place to serve Him here, to serve your brothers and sisters that are sitting here, as well as the other people around us in our local community and throughout the world. So, we want to look at what we have rather than what is needed. This can be challenging, but we want to keep coming back to this. It is possible to turn a need around. If you identify a problem, you can, with the power of asset mapping, turn it around so that you can look at what your resources are. One of the examples that I gave you last week on that regard was Joseph. He lost his job. He wouldn't have seen that as a resource, but because he used that to serve others, to create a group of people, to minister to those who had recently lost their job because of the oil crisis here, because of that, a startup was born, and perhaps, hopefully, prayerfully, that will develop into something, a business for him. So actually, that need of a job actually became a resource. Are there any other needs that you could think of in our church that we can turn around to look at the resource?
A need to visit the mothers who have had babies or the sick people that we maybe just don't have time to.
Visiting the mothers who've recently had babies or the sick. Right? So visitation ministry. We need, as a church, to reach out to our members who are in need. But how can we turn that around and look at that as a resource? You see, the Bible tells us to focus on the positive, to focus on what is right, to focus on what is good. The Bible tells us not to be conformed by the patterns of this world. So we need to break free of that need-based mentality and start looking at our resource-based mentality. Yes? And instead of looking at the fact that we're reaching out to those that need something, we can look at the fact that we're allowing people to serve. People perhaps who don't feel comfortable standing up here, whether it's singing or preaching, but who can cook, can meet the needs of other people. They're being allowed to use their gifts. So rather than the need, we can look at the resource. We celebrated our daughter's 20th birthday. She'll turn 20 on Tuesday, yesterday. And 20 years ago, we were on the receiving end of that. My wife comes from this area. Her whole family lives here. We received meals for a week from members of our church, delivered to our door every day as a gift, right? And this is something we're still doing. Andrew and Denise are on the receiving of that, on the end of that right now. That really blew my wife's family away to see a church reaching out like that. They didn't think to do that. But here, our family of Christ sought to meet a need for us that really blessed us. So we want to look at what we have rather than what we need. So where are we going? Where are we going with this? They've actually started using this positive thinking in psychology. If you talk about that, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, here's satisfaction. I can't write. All right, and this is time. So here we are now, and this is sometime in the future. And then couples will be asked, where are you now? Where is your relationship now? Or in a business setting, you can say, okay, where are we now? And often people will put now here, and the future is somewhere up here, right? Has anyone seen this before? In Norwegian, it's got a great name. I really like it. In Norwegian, it's called luft, which means lift. But it's actually for, it's the initials of solution-based therapy. So what we're doing is, and therapists have now found that actually focusing on the positive is really beneficial in relationships, in building relationships. So where are we going? What is our goal over here, somewhere in the future? Anyone? And I don't have a list of right answers here. That is actually an open question. Where are we going? I'm sorry? To better serve the body of Christ. Okay. Making disciples, reaching out, and... Okay. I don't have a plan for how to get there. And the thing about asset-based congregational development is there's not a group of people at the top that make all the decisions. We often use this as a symbol of the Holy Spirit, or I mean the Trinity, sorry, right? The problem with this is it can look like hierarchy. And the thing about it is that God did not come to establish a hierarchy. You don't have the big boss at the top and all the peons at the bottom. Quite the contrary, what Christ did in his coming is he flattened that triangle. We're told this in Philippians 2, right? Christ, who being in very nature God, humbled himself. So he flattened that triangle and said, yes, I'm God, but I am here to serve you. So he is our example. So if we want to be Christ-like, then we need to follow his example and learn how we can serve others. Not only as a congregation, but also as individuals or as smaller groups, whether it's a growth group or we've got Dorcas ministry. This is happening in our church. Okay, so I'm not saying this isn't happening, but we want to encourage us even more. Take your gifts, your abilities, and find your unique way to serve Christ. But the thing about asset mapping is we combine my gifts with your gifts, with her gifts, and that becomes something greater. I'm not on this on my own. I'm not trying to pull everyone and say, come on, guys, we're going this way. When we get together and use our assets or our gifts together, an explosion happens, and we get excited, as we saw last Sunday, about doing things. I hope that this is only the beginning. What we did last Sunday, and there will be a chance later on for us to do this again together, for those who weren't here, for those who'd like to do it again, because the thing about asset mapping is you can do this every week, and you get different answers. There's different possibilities. Now, we can't do everything. We had, I don't know, that whole wall, that wall, that wall, and that wall full of different ideas and possibilities. I'm not suggesting we try everything, but let's look at this and say, okay, what resonates with me? What do I want to be a part of? I'll jump in on that. That sounds like something that really strikes a chord with me and gets me excited. So we want to flatten our triangle and see how can we serve others. Because what is God's mission? What is God's mission? I hope that you're remembering all the previous sermons, because the whole month of September was talking about community, and that was for a reason. And Joseph didn't realize how he wrote his sermon on the 24th of September, which fit perfectly with this, and he was talking about the community of the Trinity, the relationship the Trinity has, and what we can learn from that. What is God's mission? Okay. Is God interested in a relationship with individuals or with communities? Both. But so often in our Western world, we like to focus on the God of individuality. Jesus came to save me. A lot of the Bible verses that we quote, but as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. The house that's being talked about there is Israel. It's a community. Many of these verses that we use to talk about us as individuals are actually communities. So yes, God did come for the individual. But one of the ways that he wants to save us is through communities. That is why Bill Hybels says that the church is the hope of a dying world. He wants to use us as a community to accomplish his glory. One of the reasons is, if I do it on my own as an individual, I can start patting myself on the back. I can think that that was something that I did. But when he uses us as a community, it helps to keep us humble. So how can we find our unique way of serving Christ together with others in this community to meet the needs of the community, whether it's our congregation or the people around us or people out in the world? Now, the unity of the Holy Spirit. One of the things that Joseph talked about was how the Trinity worked together, the communication between them. But there are a lot of things that we don't really catch in these Bible passages. For instance, the Spirit drove Christ into the wilderness to be tempted. It says in Scripture, the Spirit drove Christ into the wilderness to be tempted. That doesn't sound like a very nice thing to do. Sometimes we think that unity is conformity. It's complete and total agreement. Christ said in the garden, "Take this cup away from me. I don't want to do this. Not my will, but yours." See, it's not that they always agreed with each other, but they got there, just like us. We don't always agree with each other, and that's a good thing. As long as we respect one another, we love one another, and we get there to a point of agreement. That's the kind of unity that God desires for us. Not sameness, not oneness, not likeness, but our uniqueness, our different understandings, our different perspectives, our different cultures, our different denominations, all these things coming to help us understand His will for us better, to build us up. We should celebrate these differences, these uniqueness, these different experiences, and allow them to bring us closer together. You see, Christ came not to be powerful over people. He wasn't going to be powerful and serve under people. He wasn't going to take over and do things for people, but He came to be powerful into people's lives. He said, "I will give you the Holy Spirit." He wanted to give us that empowerment to do things. He sent His disciples out and said, "Go, do these things that I have done." We're not talking small, simple things. Driving out demons, big, hard things. He said, "Go and do it. You've seen me do it. Your turn." These are the things that He wants us to do, and He will give us the power as a community to do these things. So one thing I would encourage us to do is, through appreciative inquiry, find out what each other's hopes and dreams are. Over coffee, in growth groups, as you meet people. And hopefully these five D's will help you define what is our goal. Not the big overhead goal, but the individual specific goal. What do we want to accomplish here? What do we want to do? And as we define that, we can discover what our resources are. And as we discover them, finding out who each other is and what we can do, we can start to dream. Dream big. If God is behind the dream, He will make it happen. And if He is not, He will take it away if we continually give it to Him. I'm not saying we should think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, but I do think that we should dare to dream big. Find your place to serve Him and go for it. Design a plan and then deliver.
This is an awareness test. How many passes does the team in white make?
Go!
The answer is 13. But did you see the moonwalking bear?
Go!
There's a story of a grocer, and he was asked to do a store inventory, and you know, this happens all the time, right? But as he was starting to count things, he realized that he didn't really like fruit, so he wasn't going to count the fruit. And he got to look at all the stuff that was really high up on the shelves, and he thought, that's just too much work. I'm not going to do that. And counting all the individual items, No thanks. So he decided to count the number of employees, how much they were paid in salary, the size of the store, and how much money was in the cash register. Those were things that were easy to count and fun to count. Do you think his bosses were happy? How do we evaluate a church? Do we often look at the staff the volunteers, how many people we have, our facilities, the size and the shape of our building, our financial health, how much money we have. But does that really tell us anything about the health of a church? Isn't the health of a church more about the spiritual life of its members and its members together? See, sometimes if we're focusing on the wrong thing, then we're going to miss the big thing. You were tricked. You were told to count how many passes. You were told to focus on something here. How many of you were surprised to see a moonwalking bear? Let us not miss the big things of God by focusing on the wrong things. And I'm not saying that there should be people in our church who need to focus on finances and things like that. But I don't think that should be the focus of us as a church. We should be looking at our own spiritual health, the spiritual health of others, and how we're meeting the needs of the world around us. So it is my hope that we can try to connect with one another and ask questions of what are some of your best memories from a church? What are some core values in the church that are important to you? What are your dreams for this church? And then my question to you, what are you going to do about that? How are you going to be involved in making that happen? It is my hope that through asset mapping, through the 5 D's, and through appreciative inquiry, we will find new and unique ways of serving our Lord by combining our gifts and our talents together. Whatever is pure, whatever is good, whatever is lovely, think of these things. Focus on the positive. Look for what is right in our church. Look for what gifts and abilities we have and build on that. Not simply alone, but together with others for His glory, not for ours. Amen.